Hey, this is Matt Lesher. I play Eobard Thawne on CW's The Flash, and this is the Central City Underground.
Run, Barry. Run. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Central City Underground. I'm Tony Caselli.
And I am Joe Threepeat.
Joe Threepeat.
Yes. For the last 3 years, I have accurately guessed who the Flash villain would be this season.
Nicely done.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Although, to be fair, I am not alone in guessing who the Flash villain would be this season.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, I wonder how many people have been with you on all three. I don't remember if I was or not last year.
You were.
Was I? Okay, good. Yep. But yeah, we actually did a Facebook poll this week, which was fun. We'll have to look at those results before the podcast is over.
We had a lot of people participate.
Yes, it was very fun. So welcome back, everybody. Central City Underground here. We like to talk about our favorite TV show, The Flash.
The Flash.
This is CCU episode 88.
Wow.
Yeah, we are discussing season 3, episode 20 of The Flash, titled, I Know Who You Are. And Joe, he knows who he is.
He does know who he is.
Oh, he knows.
It was a title rife with single entendre.
You know, I really liked that moment at the end where he was figuring it out.
Yep.
That was pretty sweet.
Although I think we all figured it out way before he did.
I think so, yes. There were a lot of little moments throughout, though, that I liked that up until that point, we had been going, okay, which Barry is it going to be? How's it going to work? Like, even on the poll, we had, it could be this guy, it could be that guy. But then at the very moment when she said, like, Killer Frost said, Savitar says, I can't kill you, but I can rough you up a little bit. And right there, we were like, oh. Well, then it's him.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Killer Frost's clues were unsubtle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if they kept her talking, I was fairly confident she was just going to tell him, oh, it's you, Barry. It's you from, like, 2054.
Right, or somewhere.
Right.
And there's much discussion to be had about from where exactly, so.
Or from when.
Exactly. Correct. Or from why. No, that doesn't work. So, Joe, I know we have a little bit of news. Why don't you talk about some news?
Well, Tony, I'm very excited. We just got the titles for the final two episodes. So obviously next week we have Cause and Effect.
Yes.
The week after that, and I'm very excited by this particular title, we have Infantino Street.
Yes, that's a very fun thing.
Right, which of course we all know is where the big to-do happens in the future.
Yes, the one we've gone back to a bunch, and I'm glad we're going back. Now, do we want to talk about why Infantino Street is also a cool Easter egg?
Absolutely. Carmine Infantino is in one of the people most directly involved for creating Barry Allen.
The Flash.
That's right.
DC Comics.
During the 1950s, Carmine Infantino was one of the big artists during what is now called the Silver Age of comics. In particular, was involved with revamping some of the classic DC characters like the Flash and
the
Green
Silver
Lantern.
Age. That's right around when you started reading, right?
Trying to remember which of the two of us is the younger, Tony. And I think it's me.
Is it because your memory's going, so you've forgotten? Is that why?
Get off my lawn! Yes, Carmine Infantino has the distinct honor of being the man who designed the red and yellow uniform.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
He did indeed.
Neato.
Yeah, he's had a long, 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 long history. He also drew the famous Flash of Two Worlds issue. He's done a lot.
Yeah, so that's very Flash. Fun. That's the name of the street upon which Iris is getting impaled. That's a weird thing, but
no, it's less fun.
They'll find a way to save her. Guarantee by the time the season ends, it's going to be Joe West dead with face changing technology. Oh,
maybe, Tony,
maybe that's
think
not
you're
better.
Right. Oh, I think you're right.
Oh,
also, the final episode now has a title. And that title, Tony, is the ominous Finish Line.
Finish Line.
Yeah.
The Finish Line.
I don't know how to say yes.
Does it take place in Finland?
Maybe. You could ask your daughter.
What type of Finnish superheroes are going to show up? It's Reindeer Man. No, Captain Lapland has arrived.
I know nothing.
In his flowing cloak of red. He looks like Santa Claus. Don't tell him that. It angers him.
With his mighty horn of justice.
I only know how to say two words in Finnish. My daughter has taught me. My daughter's doing an exchange program in Finland, everybody. She's been there for about a year. She's going to be coming home soon. And I've learned two words. And one is moi, which is hi. And the other one I can't say on the air in case there's anyone Finnish listening, because it's completely inappropriate.
Of course.
Right? That's great.
A little salty language.
Finish line. So that seems appropriate for the end of the season. Rumor has it, Joe, in the continuing along in the news section, rumor has it that the season is going to end on a bit of a cliffhanger.
What? How very unlike the previous seasons.
So I don't know what that means exactly, but we'll find out. You know.
Well, rumor also has it that one of our favorite bad guys will be returning in the next couple episodes.
That's correct.
Not next week, but in Infantino Street. Buckle up, folks, for the return of... Can I say it, or is it too much of a spoiler?
I don't think it's a spoiler. They've put it out in a press release.
They have. Get ready for the return of Captain Cold!
Yeah, so do you think Captain Cold and Killer Frost will go up against each other?
Oh my god, I had not thought of that, but I super hope they do.
That'll be neat. That'll be fun.
Oh, well, then, yes, please. Just give me an hour of that. I'll be fine.
But it does bring up an interesting... which Captain Cold? Because,
well,
you know,
that's
he's
thing,
gone through...
he's dead at this point in time.
Well, or no, they didn't he bring him back? I mean,
No.
I guess he didn't. I guess he put him back in time where he had been.
They did. They put him right back where they found him. So as of the current timeline, Captain Cold is 6 feet under.
Yeah. He's on ice, you could say.
Oh, damn. I should have had that.
Great. Okay, so we got some fun upcoming things, Joe. Thank you.
He's cold as the grave. That was the joke I should have used.
good work.
Thank you. Thank you. The important thing is I got there.
Yeah, you think that's so? Okay. So let's talk other nuts and bolts, Joe. There were some new names in the creation of this episode. It was written by Bronwyn Clark and Joshua V. Gilbert, both of whom, this was their first writing an episode credit on The Flash. So I thought that was interesting.
The big reveal episode.
Yeah, the big reveal episode. It was directed by Hanel Culpepper. I love her name.
Right? These are great names.
Hanel Culpepper. It's a great name. And she has directed a bunch of things. But for The Flash, she's only directed one other episode, which was King Shark last season. But a fun special effecty episode.
Yes, as was this one.
Right? I can't wait to get into that. But she's directed a lot of other TV shows, TV episodes, from Castle to Criminal Minds and Empire and Quantico and Gotham and Rosewood and Sleepy Hollow. So not new to the genre type of stuff. But yeah, I thought this episode was directed pretty well.
I agree completely.
And some of the cinematography and effects were really fun.
Whoa, so cool.
Yeah, really cool. So, Joe, that I think is the end of the news things for me. There's probably more, except I do have to apologize to everybody for we're getting the podcast out a day late this week because my travel plans changed and I got stuck in Fort Myers, Florida, which, you know, it was a nice place to be, except I was there hours and hours and hours and hours longer than I expected to be because plane troubles. So,
see, if you could have vibed, you could have just zipped right back.
See, or had Birion just run me home.
Right.
Right. Joe, let's do some ratings.
Let's do it.
What'd you give this episode?
I really dug this episode, Tony. I really liked it a lot. I gave this episode 9 super sweet slippy slides.
I like it.
I loved those ice slides so much.
Come on, how great was that?
So cool.
I mean, it completely was an homage, a gift, a remembrance back to all of those TV shows where they did it.
Right. So many ice-themed villains and heroes do the ice slide thing.
Oh, man. But
to actually see it, glorious.
Right? I mean, it took me back to the Spider-Man cartoons.
The cartoon? Totally.
Where they would do it. It took me back to
Spider-Man and his amazing friends. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Right? Or Frozone and the Incredibles. I mean, come on. So good. And it was so fun to see Daniel Panabaker doing it.
Oh, my God. It was awesome.
It was I as soon as she started it, I just went, they're not going to do this. No. And then it was a whole amazing sequence.
Ugh.
It was funny when it ended. There was a part of me, though, that went, now, where did she go? Why did she go do that? Like, is it just to distract Barry?
We have established that Barry is like a T-Rex. He hunts by movement.
Yeah.
So if he can't see you, you cease to exist.
Right. But then, because she zipped around, she threatened some people a little bit to distract him, and then just basically came back to them.
Right.
And I went, okay, I'm not exactly sure, but it was awesome, whatever it was. Whatever her reason was, it was great. And as some people pointed out on Facebook and Twitter, she really learns that trick fast.
Real fast. Like, sharp learning curve. She's a sharp cookie.
I can't remember who it was on the CCU Facebook page, which if you haven't been on, listeners, I would encourage you to go on. I think there were 330 comments on this last episode discussion page, and there's so much fun stuff everybody posts on there. But somebody said, well, she had the 3-week hiatus to figure that out. So... yeah, there you
fair.
Go.
Tony, what ratings did you give this episode?
I liked this a lot. I didn't like it quite as much as you did, only because there were a couple little writing things that bugged me. But I gave it 8.75 shots of cayenne.
For a Zoom.
I loved that scene in Jitters with HR and Tracy Brand. But how weird is it that there's a secret menu item called the Zoom,
right? I feel like a Zoom coffee would be a coffee that disguises itself as a different beverage, but is still obviously clearly coffee.
That's exactly right. but there's two things about it. One, isn't it weird calling it a guy who terrorizes the city, naming a coffee after him?
Right.
I mean, it would be like going into Starbucks going, on the secret menu, I'd like a Unabomber, please.
Mm.
Like, what? That doesn't. Yep. That's not a thing people do.
Kind of weird and dark.
Kind of weird. But
maybe that's why HR decided to buy them after he found out about that. He was like, ooh, you guys need a change in management.
Right. In the future, HR Jitters. But the other thing about that was after her description, I really want one now. A triple espresso with a shot of cayenne. You know me and my coffee, Joe.
I do. You are a religious coffee drinker.
Okay, I want to try that. So anyway,
yeah.
That's my rating. What there was a lot that went on in this episode. Should we just start at the beginning and go?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So we start, Joe, with coming back from a run.
Yes, an altogether different sort of race. A normal human being sort of race.
Right. And apparently Joe and Cecile are preparing for a little mini marathon.
Right.
Or 5K or something. And Joe has just said, yeah, I'll wait at the finish line.
Right. Yeah. discovering the whole like couples running thing really made me think that I have chosen wisely in the people I date in my life. Because nobody ever asked me to do that. Yikes.
That is funny.
Hard pass.
But the Joe and Cecile thing is cute, and it's a nice setup for all the stuff that happens later.
I love that he is 8 feet taller than she is.
It's funny. Somebody else pointed that out. I think it was Gary who pointed out on Facebook. When she's not in her like professional attire wearing heels, she's tiny.
She's so little, and he is so tall.
Yep. I love them, though.
I do, too. I love them so much, which makes me scared.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's something you and I are going to visit several times in this podcast is, look how great and happy Joe is. That can only mean death.
Right. So then Joe's phone goes off and he's got to head to Star Labs. But what happens just before that is he's giving her grief about something, and he says something like, I hope you're not too mad at me. And she says, I love you too much to stay mad at you. And it's clearly that moment in their relationship where one of them has said, I love you for the first time.
And the other one is silent.
Well, I think it flips him out. He does that like big tough guy thing where he goes, feelings, gotta talk, you know, which we don't see Joe do a lot unless it's about Cecile.
Yep. He's so emotionally available for his kids.
Yeah.
That I think we sometimes forget. It's like, no, he does have other sides. He's got facets.
Right. And so that's fun because they leave on that awkward moment of him going, oh, what do I say? But I also get, you know, it's not just that relationship thing. For him to take this next step, he really does have that fear of, I have to let her into all of this meta-human death stuff.
Yep.
The craziness that is the other part of my life, right?
Right.
There's much discussion to be had because I sort of hate the way the writers had him push her away for a half an episode.
I didn't love that either.
No, I just wanted to go, stop it. How many times do we do that in the show? Cut it out.
Well, and it's a big, you know, it is a big decision. She is one of the five people in Central City who doesn't know that Barry Allen is the Flash.
Right, exactly. Anyway, we go to Star Labs, and they're talking about, you know, what are we going to do? Here's what we learned. Tracy Brand, here's the info I got from Future Flash. And I really liked Julian coming after everybody in this scene going, yeah, we're looking at that stuff. That's great. What are we doing about Caitlin?
Right.
Right. I really liked that little continuation of Julian going, she's still out there and we're not helping her.
Well, and he and Cisco go at it multiple times this episode. In another part that I didn't like as much, maybe I didn't like this much enough to give it a 9 as I think about it now.
By the time we're done, I've dropped this down to 3 right. Slides.
Solid 6. Solid 6. Well, and it introduces, honestly, one of the things I loved the most about this episode. I love Tracy Brand.
Yeah, I did too.
She's did hilarious. Too.
Yep. Yeah, I liked her a lot. I love. So but to back up, though, you didn't like that Cisco and Julian were arguing?
Not that in and of itself didn't bother me. What bothered me, we'll discuss it later as to what bothered me, but it had to do with Cisco's spontaneous I can't control my powers issue.
Oh, okay. Well, I liked the tension between Cisco and Julian because Cisco has a lot of things going on and Julian, you know, was really wanting to focus on just the one.
He's very single-minded.
Yeah. And Cisco was getting pressure from everybody else to solve, you know, other things. But I also get his, you know, the fear that he had for Caitlin was driving him in a little different direction, you know. So I thought that was interesting. But they decide to go find Tracy Brand, and they burst into her lab.
Her lab that's on fire.
Right. And, yeah, of course, you know, we talked about this a little last week where they said, yeah, when they run into the Tracy Brand at 2017, she's not quite yet the Nobel Prize winner.
Nope, she's a grad student.
We definitely get to see, she's got her grad, she's a PhD candidate.
Or she's a PhD candidate, yeah. By mistake.
And after years of working on that, she's been told no and, is burning all of her paperwork. She's done.
Right? And giving it all a proper Viking funeral.
That was funny.
But yes, obviously the guys have some information on stuff that she has not necessarily gone public with.
Yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, you know, they're doing the thing that superheroes are always super good at, which is pretending to be anyone other than who they are. And then obviously one of the things that we saw in this that we played throughout the rest of the episode, which I love, HR has a crush.
Yes. Yeah, that was fun.
It's crush at first sight. I love it. It's so cute.
As they're talking, trying to convince her who, you know, that her research is correct. And I loved her going, I never released that paper. How do you, what? And they realize they're trying to backpedal and figure out how to get what they need from her. I loved that effect of across the room, a door starts to get a little frost covered.
That's right. Killer Frost opens no doors.
Right?
She freezes and shatters them. That is how she do.
I'm like, you know, if you're on kind of a stealth mission, get in, kill the girl, get out.
Right?
What's up with I'm just going to blow open a door. Like,
she gets really angry at doorknobs.
Right. But then we got a cool moment in the scene that a lot of people were talking about and debating, which was she shoots an icicle at Tracy Brand, right? Mm-hmm. Then we get to see Barry move as everybody else is in slow motion. We see Barry move at super speed, knock her out of the way, knock the icicle out of the way, but then grab the torch that she's using out of her hand. And then he did that cool finger snap thing.
Where he created a little spark.
Well, it's funny because I have a question about that, though. I mean, I don't think it was a spark. I don't think that's what he did. Because the torch was self-igniting. Tracy Brand lit the torch while they were all standing there. You don't need a spark to light that torch, right?
You just need a spark to light my love.
Yeah, well, okay. But I think what he did, I was trying to figure this out. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So he had to do something like with his snap of his fingers, like direct wind or super snap, direct a jet of air toward her that carried the flame to her. It had to be some version of that, because just snapping fast enough to make a spark is neat, but he doesn't need to do that to light the torch. Am I making any sense?
You're not wrong in that he shouldn't need to do that, but I'm pretty sure that's what he did.
But the torch wouldn't go that far when it lit. Like, that was my thing. That was my whole moment with it. Was like, all right, it's definitely one of those hand wavy, oh, that's a cool idea. Science doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Like, nothing.
Frostbite does not work that way.
Exactly. So anyway, I'm nitpicking, because with all the things we wave our hands at in this show, I'm going to stop worrying about it. But it made me laugh.
Yes. But yes, Killer Frost does try to take out the lovely Ms. Brand and fails.
Yeah, yeah. And then she winds up going.
Well, she does the one thing that Barry Allen cannot fight. It is his personal kryptonite.
Right. She turns a corner.
She turns a corner. It's Flash's one great weakness.
Damn, she's turned a corner.
How do they know?
Guys, I've lost her.
She's gone. There's no way.
She was in the hallway, and then I don't know what that. She went around a corner.
Right. She's like literally in the girls' bathroom, going, "Shh, don't say anything."
Just sit. We're going to have to get him some kind of binoculars.
Something.
A little mirror to look around a corner or something.
Barry, we love you, but why are you so bad at finding people? We're so bad at it.
So then I loved Caitlin. Killer Frost goes back to meet with Savitar. That was a cool scene.
Well, yes, but before that, she's gone. She's gone, baby, gone. And we go back to the Central City PD, where Barry picks up on a little awkwardness between Joe and Cecile.
Oh, right.
And that's when we know that, you know, that Joe talks about his concerns about letting her into his crazy life. I liked his moment where he talks about how she's the only normal thing in his life.
Yeah.
And you get that, right? Like, there is that point, especially early on in the relationship, where it's like, well, I like that she's an escape from my life.
Sure.
Right? From all the other stuff. It's like, aw, Joe, you're feeling human emotions. It's adorable.
No, it was nice.
Yeah.
And then we get the little Killer Frost and Savitar scene.
Yes.
I like that he just gives her one order.
Yep.
Right? One instruction.
Kill Tracy Brand.
That's it.
That's my spot on Tobin Bell impersonation.
It was really good.
Thank you. By the way, for those of you who do not know, Tobin Bell of the Saw series fame is the one who voices Savitar.
Savitar in mask.
Yes.
So next, Joe, we get a scene that I liked. Poor HR, who's crushing on her so hard.
So hard.
They go, they're at Jitters, and he's trying to get info from her. And this is where we had the whole order a Zoom off the secret menu. And I loved that HR's response to that was, oh, marry me.
Yep. Well, we know how he feels about lots and lots and lots of coffee.
And I loved the fact that not just the fact that she wants a triple espresso with cayenne, but it's a secret menu thing. Just
right.
Watching his eyes light up. She knows the secret menu at Jitters. I found the woman of my dreams.
Well, and then, you know, the two of them sit down and have the conversation. Because we're so used to Tom Cavanaugh playing the genius, it's so fun watching him play the idiot pretending to be a genius.
Right? But I loved that moment where he starts rattling things off, and I went, what? Oh, and then it shows the guys in the van. Sisko's
feeding him the lines.
Feeding him. He's pulling a Roxanne on him. Funny.
So good. So good. And I even loved when they stumbled upon the phrase Speed Force.
Right. That was. Yep.
Yeah, I love it. You know, there's so many things we could do it, like trap someone in it. sure.
He's just leading her down the path. That was really funny.
And not subtly so.
No, no. But then, sort of for no reason at all, this made me laugh too. His coffee just freezes. Like, I get that she's outside nearby. Is she just randomly freezing liquids now? What?
Again, it's a T-Rex thing, man. That's how you can tell when bad things are nearby. Check your beverage.
I didn't see anybody else flipping their cups over. My coffee's frozen.
Maybe his was already an iced coffee, so it was already colder than the others.
Susceptible, yeah, maybe.
Right, froze faster.
It's funny because I did like that effect. I liked that moment of him going, we need to go, we need to go. But of course, it was another big hand-wavy killer frost. Okay, that makes no sense at all. We're going to move on.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
They go running out. HR, Joe, one of my favorite moments of the episode was him blathering into his headset as they're leaving, just losing all composure. We're going outside, bad things. She's here. What's that? Where are we? I can't remember what he said now, but it made me laugh because he was so calm with her and being smooth and hitting on Tracy, and then that was gone.
Right.
Hey, what if we go outside now? What if we go outside? We should go outside. He just grabs her.
You know, sometimes you just don't have time for diplomacy.
Right.
You just got to move. And once again, we see, you know, and I loved how many tricks Killer Frost had up her sleeve this episode. But boy, she really relies on the I throw icicle at you.
Right. The ice pick of death.
Right. Like, that's her go-to move.
Yeah.
To which I go, I think you can do better.
And I liked this one was the cinematography on this one was fun because we were the ice pick point of view yes. for a minute coming at Tracy Brand's face.
I am the walrus. You're the ice pick.
I liked that moment. I thought that was fun.
Yes, absolutely. And once again, Barry shows up in the nick of time.
Dun, dun, dun.
And deflects away the icicle. And then my favorite part of the episode began.
Barry saves Tracy and Killer Frost begins her ice bridge expedition.
Oh my gosh, it was so cool. Yeah. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was. I think the general tone of our Facebook page, as well as all the Twitter responses I saw, there are so many GIFs and memes of that moment now, of her just flying around on an ice bridge and Barry running along underneath on buildings, following her, chasing her. The effects of that were so fun.
So awesome. And I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head, Tony. Like, for those of us who grew up with Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends as a Saturday morning cartoon, this is a moment we have wanted to see in live action all our lives.
It was great. It was so much fun that I literally was like, I'm not exactly sure where she's going right now, but I don't care.
I don't even care. Just keep going. Just keep going. But yes, yeah, Sisko has a chance to blast her. That's the whole point, is Barry is trying to lead her back so that Sisko can blast her.
Yes.
But does he, Tony?
No, he freezes up. No pun intended. He
freezes up.
He can't do it. And it happens twice. It's the second time because it happened at the lab. And that's what Julian was giving him grief about.
Yep.
You know, Sisko just can't fire on her. And, you know, we find out, of course, she's his best friend. But also,
what we didn't see when he said that she was his best friend is Barry was right around in the other room with a single tear rolling down his cheek.
I thought just in the future, you just a minute ago, you told me I was here. Okay. But I also understand because, you know, when they start fighting, he's vibed this horrible battle between the two of them.
Right.
And he doesn't want it to go there. And so he's trying to avoid starting that, which I totally can understand.
Maybe he's afraid she'll freeze his hands off or something.
That'd be crazy.
That's ridiculous. But it did lead to one episode, and I was actually joking about this with one of the other people at CCU, where she stabs Barry in the leg with another ice pick where, in the scar tissue, because scar tissue is more sensitive. So, as someone with many scars, one of which is gigantic, I believe the opposite is actually the truth. I believe that the point is that scar tissue is less sensitive because it's scar tissue.
Oh, I don't even know. Is that what happened?
I am 99% sure that is correct, at least with my own scars. Literally, as she said it, I was like, huh, so I have a large abdominal scar, and I started like poking it, and I was like, yeah, no, it's pretty numb.
Like, all right, we got any doctors, nurses on here? Where's WT Medic? Give us some feedback.
Right. Yes, thank you. I am almost positive that part of the point of scar tissue is that there is some nerve deadening there.
Interesting.
But Caitlin would know that. She's just a doctor.
Right. So she gets away. We get to Star Labs, and Team Flash is trying to convince her who she is, what she has to do, right? Trying to convince her to continue her work on Speed Force.
Watching her geek out over her own future hologram was so cool.
Yeah, that was neat. And then she has a little moment of like being overwhelmed. She goes to the hallway of temporary overwhelmment.
Yeah, it's where you go when you're feeling things.
Right.
And I loved, I loved it when HR was like, I know it's usually you guys who do this, but I got this.
Right? That was fun.
Thank you for acknowledging that the hallway of exposition exists.
And that it's usually one of those guys who's like, I'll do it.
Well, at the minute we see him running off going, oh, Tracy, we're like, oh boy, this will go poorly.
Yep. So as HR goes off to talk to her, that's where we get another Julian and Cisco confrontation.
Yep.
But I really liked this one because Carlos Valdez just did a great job of going, you know, I've seen the battle that we're going to have. I'm worried I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
You know, that fear of I have to do this. I've seen it, but I don't want to kill her.
I don't know, man. He starts describing about how little control he has with his powers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we've seen you controlling your powers the whole season.
No, this part of it I will totally agree with you on, because there were a number of those things in this episode that popped me out a little bit. And that's why I didn't give it as high a rating, I think, as you did. That was one of them. Like, we've seen you working so well with your things. And that seemed like a sort of a writing moment.
I mean, look, I make no secret about the fact that I super love The Flash. I love The Flash, the character. I love The Flash, the show.
Yeah.
One of the things that frequently frustrates me with this show, and it's been very prevalent this season, is the writing mentality of what's convenient, right?
Yes.
Like, Cisco conveniently has issues with his powers this episode.
Well, and earlier in the episode, I'm trying to remember if it was earlier or if it's next coming up, when Joe and Cecile are talking, he waves his hand and shows his wedding ring and says, I'm ready to take this off, thank you for not making a big deal about me still wearing it. And I think we all went, has that been a thing ever?
Right, exactly.
It's been three seasons. Is that what?
Right.
Like, I don't feel like going back and watching three seasons again to make sure Joe's had his wedding ring on the whole time. And maybe he has. Somebody can tell me. But that it was a thing between them, it felt very convenient, like you said, right there.
Yep. I mean, it goes all the way back to The Flash losing people when they go around the corner. It's like, writer's room, we love you guys, do better.
Right, cut it out.
Right? We're not dumb.
There are some amazing things that come out of there, but there are some of these things that are, I think, fairly legit nitpicks. Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm gonna tangent for a second and ask Joe, here's a thought. Was Joe's wedding ring thing put in there to connect to the fact that Iris isn't wearing a wedding ring when she gets stabbed? And does that somehow connect to hologram Joe being face changed into Iris, doesn't have a wedding ring on?
I'll tell you, dude, I hadn't thought of that until you first mentioned it. And as soon as you said it, I thought, oh, I bet Tony's onto something.
I have. It seemed like such a weird thing to put in there. Like, what? He's wearing his wedding ring, and now he can take it off, so it's not a problem for her. Why does that exist in this story right now? Like, why does that exist in the story between the two of them? And the only thing I could think of is, does it somehow connect to Joe? When they put what's his name's face changing technology on him, or they hologram him up, does the hologram turn his wedding ring into her wedding ring? You know, so he's not wearing it, so it doesn't show up in the hologram. Is that weird?
It's entirely possible. Honestly, I think it's a pretty cool idea. I admit, you know, when all the ring stuff happened, I was just like, well, Joe's dead.
Yeah,
look, he's happy and moving on. Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And maybe that's all it is. But anyway, all right, enough of that tangent. I think it is in this next scene, actually, that moment happens with him taking out the ring. Because the next thing we see is that Joe is at home working and Cecile comes to visit him, right? And this is where they have their discussion about... it must have happened earlier because this is the discussion where he breaks up with her.
Yeah, well, we skipped where, so HR comes back in and informs everyone that Tracy has left the lab, but because he is a weird sort of bizarre deductive genius, he's able to figure out where she ran off to based on the hologram pictures.
Oh, we did skip that. I'm sorry.
No. And I love that moment, right, where like, oh, yeah, maybe we examine future her to figure out where present her ended up.
Yeah. That was fun. It was something different than having Cisco, you know, reprogram the satellites the way he normally does.
Right. also good.
Right.
But yes, HR figures out that she is visiting the local statue of Galileo.
Yeah, I did like that little moment. And that little scene with the two of them at the statue of Galileo was fun.
Right. Every once in a while, you see one of those TV couples that the minute they are first introduced together, you go, I want them to end up together, please.
Yeah, it was fun. It's interesting. I don't know. There's a part of me, as silly as it is, that wonders if we're going to keep this HR for season four.
Please, can we please end rotating HRs?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. I don't know if I felt that way at the beginning of the season, but I sort of do now.
Yeah. I think much like Team Flash, to all of our surprises, HR's kind of grown on us.
Yeah.
This goofy, drumstick twirling, kind of a moron. We all love him. not totally sure what he brings to the team, but we all love him.
Well, he found Tracy Brandt, so that's something.
Right? That gives him another week at Star Labs.
Yeah.
Every time you do something smart, we get to keep you for another week.
So then we do then get to Joe at home working, and Cecile shows up. And this is, I thought, a well-played scene. I just hated that he was pushing her away.
Yeah.
And I think we all hated it because, you're making a stupid decision, Joe. But
right. And we love Joe and Cecile together.
Right. But it felt like a fairly easy, the thing for me was I think we all went, oh, okay, well, then they'll be back together by the end of the episode after all the craziness happens.
We figured.
So
we
it figured. Wasn't any sort of surprise. It was like, oh, here we go.
I was kind of hoping that they would have to get that music meister would show up and give Joe a musical journey to make him realize that he loves Cecile.
That would be awesome.
Anytime anyone breaks up on the show, now a music meister shows up and fixes things with song.
Yeah, instead, Killer Frost showed up and fixed it with ice.
Right. Less fun. Way less fun.
Right. Cecile leaves, and then 6 seconds later, there's a knock at the door because Killer Frost has got her by icicle at the throat.
Yep.
And it's funny. The same icicle has made its appearance several times now. Back the first time when she became Killer Frost and held an icicle to Barry's chest, she was going to kill him, and then left. That big plastic icicle, I think, was the same one she was holding against Cecile. And it was the same one that, as she was going down the stairs into the subway thing at the beginning of this episode, saying, Savitar says I can't kill you, but I can mess you up a little bit. She had that same icicle and was dragging it along the Look, railing, Tony, menacingly.
They had two Gorilla Grodd episodes this season, plus the ice slide. They got to cut corners where they can.
Exactly. Like, I need one good-looking icicle. We're going to use that bad boy all year.
All year. So, Killer Frost abducts Cecile and tells Joe, meet us here at this time, at this place, and bring Tracy Brand, and you can get Cecile back. Otherwise, she's ice.
She's not really ice. What she said,
but that, it was all subtext. So we go back to Star Labs, because that's where all the cool stuff happens. They're figuring out what they're going to do to get Cecile. I love that moment where HR even tells her, he's like, yeah, remember how I said we'd protect you and not let anything happen to you? Well, now we need you to do something really dangerous.
Oh, that's right.
So, yes, they decide that they're going to go along with the plan and turn Tracy Brand over. But we all know that they're not really going to do that.
Yeah, Barry says, you know, I have a plan, something, something.
Yep.
So they get the text from Caitlin, who's got Joe on speed dial, and sends him, you know, meet us here. And they show up and find Killer Frost holding Tracy Brand at Ice Pick. And
well, then we get that great moment where she starts repeating everything that Barry is going to say as he says it.
Yes.
Which makes us all go, wait a minute, how is she doing that?
Right.
And she talks about how Savitar is always one step ahead and knows everything that's going to happen, including that she knows that Sisko is hiding in the rafters.
Yes.
Which is when Sisko turns around and sees the explosive.
Right. I have to stop, because this moment for me is a big one, Joe, in the journey of which Barry Allen becomes Savitar, because Caitlin, Killer Frost, is repeating this conversation as they're swapping out Tracy Brand, which means, in my mind, whatever version of Barry Allen becomes Savitar has to have lived through this moment.
Yep.
So there's been lots of talk, right? Is it Flashpoint Barry Allen? Is it 2024 Barry Allen? Is it 2056? Is it a, you know, pre-Flashpoint? Who, what, where, which one is it? But it has to be a guy who went at least as far as this Tracy Brand swap.
Yeah, I think this episode definitively eliminated any of the Flashpoint Barry.
I think it had to.
Yep. Or, you know, a Barry from an alternate timeline. No, this is Barry from this timeline, at least up to this point.
Right. And I mean, they could pull some rug and throw out a, you know, some crazy solution for it. But we haven't seen any example of that yet. Right. I mean, any evidence of that. And this, the evidence given to us by him knowing what this conversation is going to be, really cements in that it's our Barry up till this point.
Yep.
I think.
I completely agree with you.
So anyway, yeah, keep going, because then Sisko falls out of the rafters.
I loved the way he saved himself.
Yes, his little open a breach thing.
Right. Pretty good for a guy who's worried he can't control his powers.
Yeah. Well, yes. I
Considering he had to come up with that plan pretty fast.
Yep. And then a little battle happens between Killer Frost and Sisko and Barry, and they get Brand to safety.
Sisko finally mans up and takes her out.
Yep. And then it's funny, because even while we were watching the episode, we were chatting on Facebook, and the moment that Sisko put the syringe up to like her arm, or neck, or wherever he was putting the syringe on her, I thought he was giving her a sedative to keep her out.
I totally did as well.
And then it turns out, no, what he's done is take a blood sample, which totally makes sense.
It does and it doesn't.
Right. The thing for me that I think is interesting is they had this plan from Julian, if you can get this for me, get it. Right? And it's at that moment that I, you know, sort of wished, well, at this point, Barry should speed them all away, speed her into a cell, right? But he lets Sisko do his thing. And just as Sisko's done, before Barry does any of that, Savitar comes in.
But here's the thing, Tony. It's another one of those convenient writing moments that makes me go, writer's room, do better. if Sisko comes into this with the syringe, what that's telling us is they know that Savitar is going to escape with her, right? Why bring a syringe if your plan was to bring her back to Star Labs?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Right? Like, that's just basic writing stuff.
Yeah. Well,
you're telegraphing what's going to happen, even though the characters have no idea that it will.
Yes, I'll give it. I'll give that to you. I mean, I don't hate the idea that Sisko is prepared for this just in case. Like, you know.
But then why was that, if he was prepared for it, why was it the first thing he did?
Yeah, right. If they get her unconscious, Barry should have locked her up first.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm with you. But what I like about that whole, now we've got some of her blood, that's clearly, I say this not having any idea what the hell I'm talking about, clearly going to lead to Julian finding some kind of cure so that they can adjust the part of her blood that makes her evil, whatever's affecting her brain, so that she can keep her powers but be Caitlin again, right?
Yes.
I hope, and it feels like the direction they're going is that at some point, either the end of this season or maybe middle of season 4, they're able to help her brain chemistry adjust so that she can be Caitlin Snow but still have these powers.
And that's how we get Helper Frost.
I think they're probably going to go with the way the Justice League comics have done now and just get rid of the helper part and just call her Frost. That's my hope, because I think that would be awesome.
The old-time superhero fan in me is hoping they go with Dr. Frost.
Which would also be fun,
right?
Since she's already Dr. Snow.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Cold Miser. Cold Miser will also work.
Cold Miser.
She's Mr. Cold Blister. Sure. She's Mr. Snow.
De-de-de-de. So, Savitar comes in.
Zips away with her.
And then we're back at Star Labs. Julian says, okay, we got the blood sample. We can start reverse engineering, you know, and figuring out what her the issue is, whether it's going to just cure her completely. We'll see. I know, like I said, I hope it's getting her to be a productive superhero member of Team Flash. But and then we get another nice scene between HR and Tracy.
Yeah.
It's funny because in this one, I love listening to her. She is really on top of like what's happening.
Yes.
In terms of the Speed Force and the science behind it and all those things. And listening to her, I love this character. I really, Joe, there's something about what happens if Caitlin remains Killer Frost for a while and Tracy Brand steps up to be a part of the team for a while.
A lot of people are thinking that way. You know, because right now, the thing that Caitlin brings to the team is the medical knowledge, right?
Yes.
The biological science.
Yeah.
Which Julian also brings to the table.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, the
not as much, but yeah.
The thing that we haven't had on the team this season, with the exception of a brief appearance of Harry Wells, is a physicist.
Right.
Right. Because Sisko's an engineer.
Yeah.
Caitlin's a medical doctor. But we haven't had a physicist until Tracy Brand.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you, like having her back on, like even helping them out at all right now, I was like, oh, it's actually nice to have a physicist back on the team.
Yes. Well, and she gives us a really cool bit of information, right, where she talks about, I think I know why he needs the suit. Made of this material that really, really...
An unknown metal.
Unknown metal that does something to eliminate the friction because he moves so fast. If he traveled that fast without it, it would kill him or hurt him. Right,
and that's when they realize maybe we can use the suit to trap him in the Speed Force.
Right, and so I don't know where that's going to lead yet, but we'll see.
Neither.
You know, that brings us to, we know when we talk about the identity of who the Barry Allen in the suit is, right, and how he got that way. There's been lots of speculation on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place since the reveal, you know. Is his facial scarring from some sort of tragedy, disaster, attack that he suffered that left him bruised and battered, and also mentally did that snap him, right? And so was he bruised in, or near death in battle, right? Is that where his scars came from?
I think what happened is Barry was in court testifying against Boss Falcone in Gotham. Oh. And then Falcone threw acid on one half of his face.
See, I was thinking that for a little while that that future Barry was part of Negan's team in Walking Dead. And Negan held them iron to his head. Anyway, the other thought is, what if that's not true at all? What if it's just a guy who went nuts and somehow got all this power, and the first time he ran, partly melted his face because he needed that suit?
I think there is a very distinct possibility that's the case.
It could be either one. I can't wait to find out. Like, yeah, we'll keep going because we'll talk about the reveal when it happens. But
well, it's almost there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we go back now. Joe and Cecile are dealing with the fact that Cecile knows everything now. And
yes.
It's like, yeah, this is what I was trying to hide you from.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I like that. Oh, and it's here where he takes his wedding ring off.
Yep.
I couldn't remember where it happened, but it's here because he says I love you back to her.
He does. And then they all go back to their place, the lovely West home, and everyone's having a sweet, lovely moment. Wally shows back up from Earth 3, which again, I'm sorry, that was such a hand-wavy excuse to get him out of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. He's got a girlfriend, and they care about each other, and they said they were going to try and do better with their long-distance thing last time. But it does seem like a weird time to go.
Right? I mean, it's not like anything important's coming up, right?
Well, you know, I mean,
it's not like your sister is days from death.
Well,
maybe stick around.
Yeah. But in fairness, he knows they've got some time. He's like, you're not going to die for a month. I'm just going to take a day. Anyway, he comes back.
Right.
They're having a nice little scene in the West House when we got what I thought was a pretty cool montage-y thing of Barry putting together all of the pieces throughout the season. Right. Moments from the season where he just went, oh, wait a minute. I just figured this out. And that I liked that the direction of that, the whole creation of that moment, I thought was cool.
Yes.
Did you not? What are you thinking?
No, I absolutely agree. It was, you know, it was the reason for the season, as it were.
So,
and Barry does the math.
Yep. And Barry does the math and he figures it out. It was funny. He then says, I'll be back in a minute. And he's zooming around. I was trying to figure out if he was in a specific place.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And because I rewound it to watch it and I was disappointed because as I rewound it, I was like, oh, no, he's not. Okay. I thought he would go like maybe to the house he grew up in out in front of that.
I caught nothing.
But I couldn't. It didn't seem like it. They were just in a nice place by some big trees. So, like somebody, who was it on Facebook said, wouldn't it have been funny if he just had some, you know, people walking their dogs going, okay, you're there.
Right.
All right. We see you. I'm here. I'm over here.
Savitar's like, do you mind? We're trying to do something.
But I really liked this moment when Savitar showed up. This sort of figured it out speech that Grant Gustin gave was really nice.
Yeah, really cool.
And then, I'm sorry, that effect of Savitar, you know, getting down into the linebacker pose and the suit opening up was awesome.
It's always cool. It's always cool. And yes, out of the Savitar carapace steps out Future Barry.
Future Barry. That was fun. I know who you are. It's about time.
And they even acknowledged the whole I am the future Flash.
Right.
That's what he was really saying.
Right.
Not I am the future comma Flash.
Right. No comma, people. No comma.
No comma.
So it really did. The way the hair and the makeup and things were, it looked like an older version of 2024 Flash, right?
Sure did. I mean, he did not look significantly older than Barry, right? Like,
right.
A 65-year-old speedster did not step out of that suit.
Ah, correct. It looked very much like emo goth 2024 Barry,
but with an evil, sinister smile and a scar and screwed up eye.
Yes. Yeah. His attitude was clearly one that was a little more deranged.
Yes.
And so the question is, Joe, where the hell did this guy come from?
Well, Tony.
What do you think?
2054.
2054?
Yes.
You think 2054? Interesting.
Because, and I could be wrong in this, but I believe 2054 is where Captain Hunter got the message about Barry telling him, not to trust Barry.
For some reason, I want to say that was 2056.
Oh, maybe it is. It's 2050 something. I think it's that Barry.
Okay. Got it. Interesting. I think that's a very cool idea.
Part of me just really wants to see that story dealt with, right?
Yeah. Well, and let me say this too, because I'm going to count this as not a spoiler, because again, it's a thing that was in an interview that was published. Andrew Kreisberg said, or Greg Berlanti, one of them said in an interview, oh yes, that message on Legends of Tomorrow will come back and will be addressed by Team Flash in the next three episodes somewhere. So there's got that. I don't think you're entirely wrong that there's some kind of connection there.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels so.
Because it really has felt like that thing from Legends of Tomorrow where Barry from 2056 or whatever said, you're going to be called back. Don't trust me. Right. It's still been a little unclear. Because was it just about the invasion?
Nobody knows.
Right, we don't know. But it sort of doesn't make sense if it was just about the invasion. Because at that point, what do you mean don't trust you? You're there fighting off the aliens. What? Like, I don't know why he's warning him about that version of him. So that's the unclear part to me about that message from Barry in the future. On Legends, right? Am I being thick there?
No, I still feel like it's a dangling thread.
Yeah, and they've said it's going to be addressed, so I think it has to deal somehow with this future Barry Savitar thing somehow.
It's gotta.
I'll tell you what my theory is, and I'm not alone in this. This is things that stuff that kind of pieced together. I think several of us were talking about on the CCU page at the same time. And I'm in agreement with, I think Todd and a couple other folks were like, what if it's in the last episode, 2024 Barry says you'll do everything you can to stop him. You'll create a bunch of time remnants. He kills all of them, mostly.
Yeah.
He kills most of them. I think because the Savitar Barry looks so much like 2024 Barry, my current theory is that Savitar Barry is one of the time remnants that 2024 Barry made. I think in his attempt to stop Savitar, in 2020 or whenever they finally had the big fight, right? That
right.
He finally had the big catch him fight. That he made all of these time remnants of himself so they could all take on Savitar together. Savitar killed all of them mostly. I think the Savitar Barry made himself. I think the Savitar Barry is a time remnant who was injured somehow, knocked into the Speed Force, locked into the Speed Force, and then went crazy and decided if that's what he was going to be, that he was going to be it. And he made himself Savitar and came back into that and it fulfilled his own destiny. You know what I'm saying?
I do. He does talk a lot about how I created myself.
Right. And the thing for me is, I also think there's something to do, because one of the other theories about what time remnant could be is it the time remnant from the end of season two that we saw disappeared, you know, into nothingness, right? He ran so fast.
Right.
But I don't think it's that guy, because you couldn't know any of the things that happened in season three, right? Which Savitar knows all of that stuff. So that, I don't think it's that guy. But the reason I'm bringing that guy up is, the way time remnants work, one of them has to say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice myself, right? You go on being Barry Prime, right? I'm going to sacrifice myself and die in this battle. What if this one is in this fight with a whole bunch of other Barry time remnants and Barry Prime and sees everybody getting slaughtered and looks at Barry Prime standing in the back being the general conducting everything and says, what in the hell? Why do you get to be the one to live and get Iris and get all these things, right? And he gets injured and goes nuts. And just that whole idea that he's supposed to be dead is what drives him insane.
You know, I'm reminded of a quote from Bender Bending Rodriguez from Futurama, in which Bender says, boy, time travel's confusing. And I bet it's going to get even more confusing.
I think it is. I can't wait.
So we've reached the end of the episode, Tony.
Good Lord. A lot of stuff happened this one.
It was a big episode.
Anything, any general talking points that we have skipped that we need to address?
I don't think so. I mean, I was disappointed. I think a lot of us assumed that Geomancer was going to be Savitar, but...
I had money on Geomancer.
Oh, Geomancer, you will always be the whipping boy of villains on this particular podcast.
Geomancer. Joe, I do want to bring up one other little... I love, again, in liking Tracy Brand, she had a moment where she said, so wait, I'm Sarah Connor in this?
Well, not.
And they all went, well, Miles Dyson, right? If you know the Terminator series of time travel and things, and Miles Dyson was sort of the creator of Cyberdyne, right? The bad guys. So, that whole moment just really made me laugh. I liked it a lot. Joe, I want to look at our poll that we did and talk about who got it right.
Let's find out.
Okay. Joe, we did a poll on the night or on the day of Tuesday. And we had like 14 options of who Savitar could be. It was Flashpoint Barry, Future Barry, Ronnie, We Don't Find Out, Jay Garrick, Julian, Martin Stein from Doomworld Timeline from Legends of Tomorrow, Dante, A Disappointing Letdown, HR or Harry, one of the Wellses, Wally, Jesse Quick in a stunning upset, Caitlin's mom, out of left field, Caitlin's brother back from the dead or Earth 3 or whatever, Flashpoint Eddie, and Cisco. Those were
so
all
many good ads.
Caitlin's mom got one vote that I think was Gary screwing around, which makes me laugh because I think that was his joke proposal to begin with. We got one vote for Jesse Quick, one vote for Wally, one vote for one of the Harrys, one vote for A Disappointing Letdown, one vote for Dante, one vote for Martin Stein from the Doomworld Timeline. Julian got two votes. Jay Garrick got three votes. We Don't Find Out got three votes. Ronnie got five votes. Future Barry got six votes. And Flashpoint Barry got 16 votes. So, we will still see... You know, they still may come up with a way to say that it's Flashpoint Barry. We'll see. But right now, it does not seem to be that. So no. The six people who voted Future Barry were David Sanders, Joseph Zellmeyer, Julia Garlot, Eric Imms, Karina Lucas, and me.
Bam!
So far, those six people have it. We'll find out more next week. And maybe, you know, they say, give us a magic scientific Speed Force reason that it is Flashpoint Barry, and we can switch that up and award those people the giant scepters of delayment prizes that they're going to win.
I guess my confusion with the Flashpoint Barry one was, isn't the Barry that we currently have Flashpoint Barry? Like, wasn't he always Barry?
No, I think the theory there is, right, that Flashpoint Barry had a happy life. Right, with his mom and dad.
Okay.
And then the Barry we have now said, I can't let this continue. And he went back in and took that away.
Wasn't that the exact same Barry?
But the theory is that somehow that Barry still wound up existing. The timeline that would have gone on if Barry had stayed with mom and dad, you know, that Barry is a time remnant from there. It's like he was running in the Speed Force or something when that time was... erased, and so he's left over and been trapped in the Speed Force from it and gone nuts because he himself, Barry Allen, took that away. So he's going, so now it's another, so it's sort of an alternate version of himself. And so that's the theory that totally makes sense if they want to go that way, except that Savitar knows a bunch of stuff that has happened since then in our Barry's life, right?
Right.
Right. Flashpoint Barry wasn't at the Tracy Brand swap, so it couldn't know the dialogue they had there. So that's the reason that Now, that was in this episode that happened, so those people might have voted differently if they'd seen that, right? But that's the reason for me that it makes sense that it's not.
Have I mentioned how excited I am that there's not a speedster villain next season?
Right?
This stuff is confusing.
Yeah.
Just give me the rogues.
Don't you know next season they're going to be like, okay, rule two, no time travel.
No freaking time.
No time travel. Right. Rule one is going to be anytime anybody turns a corner, Barry can't find them. That stays in effect.
Forever.
Right. funny. All right, Joe, we got a bunch of feedback.
Yes, no surprise there.
Let's talk through some of it, shall we?
Yeah.
You want to read one?
Yes, I've got one here from Jane, and I'm going to read it.
Nice choice.
Yes, thank you. Jane goes on to say, "Hi, guys. I really enjoyed tonight's episode, and I really like this season as a whole. I'm just trying to figure out how Savitar, Time Remnant Barry related to alchemy and everything that happened in the beginning of the season."
Yeah, right? What?
Yes, believe me, that is a huge question mark that I am desperately hoping they answer, because right now I see no connection.
Mm.
Why would Time Remnant Barry give Wally his powers? Do you think they will explain everything from the beginning of this season? Did all this just happen as a way to mess with the team? Also, I'm so confused as to how Savitar kills Iris, but Time Remnant Barry becomes Savitar because Iris is killed. How does this thing play out there and why? Hope they explain it. Love, love, love the podcast. Thanks for everything you do. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that we have evidence that the reason Savitar exists is because Iris is killed?
I don't know.
I don't.
Here's the thing.
Think so.
We've gotten the reveal that Barry, that future Barry, is Savitar,
yeah,
and that is all we've gotten. We have gotten no additional information beyond that.
Yeah, we don't know. I think a lot of us have assumed, like, if Iris dies, Barry goes nuts. But I don't think that's why Savitar exists. We'll find out.
I mean, I can sit here and speculate at this point. I'm still so confused, in particular, how any of this had to do with alchemy and the repowering of people from Flashpoint.
Right.
Like
we said earlier, like last week, now it's really becoming about the how and the why. And that, I'm sort of excited about that.
I just hope they do it.
Yeah, I do too. You know, because I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's future Barry. We knew that, you know. I don't know who else it could have been that would have been as emotionally satisfying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was somebody we didn't know, if it was Julian, you know, or Ronnie, who's emotionally invested in Ronnie at this point, right? There's nobody. And so it being Barry, the whole theme of the season being Barry's his own worst enemy, I think is great. The how and the why, because now you have a hero. A solid hero who wants to do the right thing. He's a good guy. He's a superhero looking at himself going, what makes me become that evil? How do I kill my fiance? How do I become that guy? And that's a compelling story.
It is. Very, very curious to see how it plays out.
So, yes. All right. Great. Thank you, Jane, for the feedback. Joe, we got one from Destiny Dazzler.
Let's hear it.
Hi, Central City Underground. It's Destiny Dazzler. So I really enjoyed this week's episode. The fact that Savitar is a version of Barry actually really surprised me. I thought it was Ronnie the entire time. I'm glad that Joe and Cecile are still together. That makes me really happy. And I'm interested to see what happens between Tracy and HR. I think that they could make a really cute couple, and it would just be interesting to see what would happen between the two of them. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Destiny Dazzler. Great feedback, as always. It's funny because normally I'm like, yeah, the relationship stuff, I could take or leave it. HR and Tracy, I think, are cute.
Absolutely.
We'll see where that goes. I do have to say, though, I have the fear about Joe and Cecile.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely did.
Yeah.
It seems like they're setting up for disaster.
Right. Yeah, it kind of does. We'll see. Thank you. Good feedback. Joe, what else you got?
We've got one here from CJ Thunder.
Carl!
What's
welcome
up,
back,
Carl?
CJ Thunder. So
been
good
while,
to hear
buddy.
From you.
So Carl says, so now that we know who Savitar is, he doesn't seem that much older than our current Barry. This is what I'm thinking. You know how in season one, how Eobard Thawne was erased from his existence due to Eddie Thawne shooting himself? Well, the Eobard post-season one was a remnant and was protected from Eddie's death due to being in the Speed Force outside of time at the time of Eddie's death.
Yeah.
What if Savitar is the 2024 Barry Allen that was supposed to become the Flash, but Eobard going back in time killing our current Barry's mother destroyed that possibility? Instead of 2024 Barry being wiped from existence, perhaps 2024 Barry was in the Speed Force when the event took place and got stuck there.
Interesting.
I can't follow any of this stuff anymore. I'm getting a nosebleed.
Is your head going to fall off?
Oh my gosh.
Right.
They better explain this fast because I can't keep up with it.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Good thought, CJ Thunder. There's so many ways this could happen. I can't wait to find out.
Oh, it's going to be exciting as heck.
God. Okay. Joe.
Yes.
We got feedback from Christy also. Christy says, Christy, the first sentence sums up what you just said. Christy says, I don't know if I've ever been so confused by a Flash episode before. I had my hopes up based on all the hype and hearing the actors saying the reveal would be worth it. I think I would have been impressed by Savitar being literally anyone else but Barry. I just don't see how any version of Barry would kill Iris. I'm also confused by how this Barry became Savitar in the first place. I also don't understand how this fits with Savitar Barry using Julian to give people powers from Flashpoint that Barry himself created. It seems like the writers made this whole thing so much more complicated by making the hero and the villain the same person. It's always so awkward when one person says I love you unexpectedly, so I'm really glad Joe seems to have worked things out for now. Yes, great feedback, Christy. Thank you. I think that confusion is, for me, part of the fun. It makes my ears bleed. But
yes.
It's part of the fun.
That's the thing about an ending like this is it just creates a multiverse of questions.
Right. And yeah, I agree with you. How and why would Barry kill Iris? But now that's the question, right? Now you see him going, what happened to you?
Yep.
How does this end? How do I stop you? And how do I stop me from becoming you? Because now he's got two challenges, right? Not just to stop Savitar, but to make sure that he doesn't become him in the first place. Those are both big things. I love it.
I can't figure any of it out.
So good. I can't wait to see what happens in these next three episodes. Joe, you want to read another one?
Yeah, we have one here from Ross. Ross has this to say. So, this was one of the best episodes yet of the season. Caitlin going full ice slide Killer Frost is one of the best things on the show.
So cool.
Right. Whenever Danielle Panabaker gets to do something besides spout medical jargon of the week or moon over the current season's lost love, she is glorious. I know that they have to get Caitlin back at some point, but I hope it's actually next season sometime. Savitar being Barry was almost expected at this point. Good to see the reveal, and I am really into where they're going to go with it. Joe going full Barry and pushing away Cecile to protect her had me yelling at my TV.
Right.
I am so glad that they cleared this up before the end of the episode. However, Joe then had to go to deliver the great I love you moment, and that can only mean he's going to die. I'm with you. Sisko and his hesitation to hurt Caitlin didn't feel right. He could have at least knocked her ice shards beams off course. I can't really explain it, but it just didn't connect with me. I give this episode 8 out of 9. OMG, I want an ice slide. Thanks, Ross. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Your issues are not dissimilar from my issues.
I was going to say, it sounds like you and Ross chatted before the show.
That is just not true.
Yep, I agree. And the whole Joe thing, the question is, are they setting up Joe to die, or are they setting that up as a red herring so we think he's going to die, so somebody else goes? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I am fairly certain that Joe is not going to make it much longer.
Oh, that would be sad. I love Jesse L. Martin.
I will be very upset.
Oh,
I'd love to be wrong on that. Love to be wrong.
Yeah, great feedback, Ross. Thank you. Joe, we got some feedback from Dad L. He says, hello, Undergrounders. I hope this podcast episode is 2 hours long. There is a lot to discuss. First, I feel the Killer Frost plotline has been stronger than the Savitar one. I really feel the hurt her transformation has brought to the team. The family dynamic they have built up over the last three seasons has made this very compelling to me. I hope she sticks around for a while. Now, on to Savitar. Just before the episode aired, I wondered if Savitar really was going to be a version of Barry, since folks have been calling that for months. I thought maybe it was too obvious. Not this time. Now, the big question is, what happened to this evil Barry? What made him so bad? Is it really just a lack of love? It seems like that's not enough. I think whatever loss Savitar experienced would have needed to be magnified in some way. Something unspeakable must have driven him insane and evil. Iris's death can't be that event, since Savitar committed it. That would be a major paradox. My current theory is that this is a Flashpoint remnant of Barry that lost everything when Flashpoint was reset, but was driven insane by being stuck in the Speed Force or some kind of Flashpoint limbo. That doesn't explain how Evil Barry knows the events of this timeline so well. I also still don't understand why he was creating metas at the beginning of the season. If Savitar is a Flashpoint remnant, that would explain how he knew who had powers in Flashpoint. I can't accept this as a future Barry yet. I just can't see him turning this evil, no matter what happened to him. I guess we'll see soon. Thanks, Dad L., Last Father of Krypton. Yeah, that's the question. How does he become this?
Well, that, and much like Dad L., I still really, really, really need to understand what the stuff with the Philosopher's Stone, with alchemy, with the empowering of the Flashpoint metas. Why?
Yeah, if that stuff goes unanswered, I'll be disappointed. But I'm currently being optimistic and having faith that they'll give it to us.
Faith is for the weak.
Fair enough. Read
I'm
some
teasing.
Feedback
That's
from
not true.
Joe, we got other feedback. You want to read it?
Yes, I would love to. We have some feedback here from Harley Quinn. Harley goes on to say, "Hi, guys. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm sending an email this week. My husband has recently decided he loves the show, about time, right? And has been very passionate about this time remnant theory, which got me thinking about my own theory. Eric's theory, which I've seen is quite popular on the Facebook group, is that Savitar Barry is a time remnant from the Battle of 2024 Barry. He is picking up the use of the word mostly in this instance. He also thought it might somehow be a Flashpoint version of Barry, but we can't really make this one work. It had to do with when he erases one of himself from the scene where there are three Flashes watching Thawn kill his mother again.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Because,
let us not forget that moment.
Right, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's been talked about because that hasn't happened yet. Right? We still haven't seen that Barry go back and tell him, no, don't come out.
My God, we haven't, have we?
Right? So, I don't know. I mean, wow. What if the whole answer is that has to happen at the end or at some point
of the series
to bring us all the way back?
God, I hope so.
Ooh, I don't know. Keep going.
Anyway, Harley says, anyway, this time remnant theory with the scarring on Savitar Barry's face got me thinking. What if this is the time remnant that has been destroyed during the battle with Zoom? Maybe he was never destroyed, but sucked into the Speed Force and driven insane. That would explain the scarring if he survived the explosion. I also thought that what if the time remnant wasn't a remnant at all, it was Barry Prime? So the Barry that we've been living with all through this season is actually the time remnant making Savitar Barry the real Barry, albeit a completely insane version, who is now just out for revenge. The only place this probably starts to fall apart is the memories. Crap. Anyway, what do you think? And does your head hurt?
Yes.
Mine sure does. I still have no answer for why he kills Iris other than he is insane and out to make time remnant Barry's life a living hell he endured in the Speed Force. I want to know why. Yeah, Harley Quinn, man. Again, like, we're throwing 1,000 theories out here. I feel like we're rapidly turning this into, like, the crazy conspiracy theorist's pin board.
Right.
With yarn and pictures, and I don't know. I have no answers to anything at this point. I actually feel like I've gotten dumber from watching this episode.
But, you know, this is the part that I love. I mean, this is what I loved about the first season, too, where we were going, who is the Reverse Flash? What if it's who? Maybe he's, right? All of the theories are what makes it fun to chat, I think. Oh my gosh, good stuff. Thank you, Jess in Atlanta. That's awesome. And I'm glad to hear that you've gotten your husband into watching the show,
right?
Too.
It is about time.
That's great. Joe, one final feedback. This one from Miss Palindrome, who says, Barry screaming, I'm here at the end. How funny would it be if teens or a dog walker walked by and said something like, good for you, ha ha ha. Maybe that was what I was thinking of when I was talking about earlier. It must have been when I read this feedback. That was funny. Where are you? I'm here. You're at some random intersection. What?
Your car's honking at them.
Right. Not really surprised that he's Savitar, predicted already by the fans. Joe and his girlfriend made a big thing about taking off the ring. Was that ever an issue? I don't think it's ever has been. No, I agree. Which makes me go, why does it have to exist? Does it have something to do with what's going to happen with Iris not wearing a ring when she's stabbed? We'll see. Ms. Palindrome says, Sisko rocks. Is there only room for a female scientist? One female scientist? Caitlin is out now that this woman is back in. And of course, she has to be a love interest. Did we have any plot device sightings? Can't wait for the podcast. Miss Palindrome. I don't know. Were there any plot device sightings?
I mean, Sisko doesn't trust his powers.
And then the, you know, I'm going to make an ice bridge and zip around and then come right back here. But that one was so great, I don't even care.
Yeah. Anything, you can say no ill when it comes to the ice bridge. Yeah. I won't hear it. Right.
I'll have none of it. I said good day, sir.
But I was just, I said good day.
Oh, excellent. All right. Joe, we have another episode Tuesday. I can't wait.
Wait, there's another episode?
You know, I know some people loved the reveal. Some people did not like it. I have to say it did what I think we want TV to do, which is make me go, when is the next episode?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So
I don't know that I've ever rushed to see a preview for the next episode faster.
Right. And that does look fun.
It does.
Yeah. So okay, that's it, y'all.
That's
feedback deadline for next week is going to be Wednesday at midnight. We'll be recording on a more normal time, I hope. Wednesday
yes.
at midnight is a feedback time. And just a reminder, join us on all of our social media. Follow us at The Flash GSM on Twitter, at The Flash GSM. Check out all the other Golden Spiral Media podcasts because there's some great stuff. And if you haven't left us an iTunes review, please go and do that. Joe, I almost forgot. We did get a couple iTunes reviews.
Did we? I honestly didn't check. Thank you for checking, Tony.
We got two new podcast reviews, Joe, on iTunes. Thank you, Lee83, who said, I listen to many different podcasts on a variety of topics, but this is by far the best podcast ever. That's pretty high praise, Lee. Thank
right.
you. These guys really do know their Flash stuff. They're hilarious, thorough, and witty. I'm not sure he's listening to the same podcast we're talking about.
No, don't correct him.
No plot devices will be found in this podcast. If you are looking for a great Flash podcast that's as good as a TV series, look no further. Thank you, Lee. We also got a nice review from GoldGaga25, who says, this podcast always provides a great overview of the episodes while listening to hilarious banter between the hosts. Keep up the good work. Thumbs up. Thank you, Gold Gaga. We appreciate that, too. So, yeah, we appreciate the iTunes reviews. If you haven't left one on there, feel free to go do that for us. We appreciate it. Joseph, that's it. Let's wrap this baby up, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, we will talk to you guys next week, too.
Thanks, everybody. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.